Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Let's go, baby. We back in here. Limited time only, though, because we got about five shows together, then things are going to get a little crazy for a couple weeks.
Summer starting.
I mean, we got, come to think of it, we a man down every week for the next 3 weeks. I just, because James isn't here.
I wrote
James into the show and tuned in the insiders and saw Jesse and just saw, God damn it, I forgot. We welcome you in here to the Monday, July 7th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barland.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
Alongside, you know who.
What are you doing with him?
We ride with him, baby. That's how we do.
Hey, real quick, I just want to give Jesse. Oh, Jesse's not there. I want to wait till he gets back, because I gotta say something to him when he gets back, man. So I'll just wait until he gets back. He stepped out for a quick second.
It's all good, man. Yeah. It's all good. We got a lot of things to talk about, man. I'm excited to tell you about the last few days I had. I had an amazing time in Seattle. I know you've had a war against that city for a decade and some change. Probably longer once you factor in the Seahawks. But, man, that is a beautiful
city. It looks picturesque.
I had gone only one time before, but it was a Connecticut Sun versus Seattle Storm on a Sunday. Me and one of the guys from the Sun went and watched that Seahawks Cowboys game. That was my one time at the link, and didn't really get to do much after that because it was just dominated by that Cowboys game and the Connecticut Sun game. But man, that's being able to experience that city with Katie and my brother and my sister-in-law, man, just, I'll stop just short of calling it flawless. Man, that place is beautiful.
I got to get up there, man.
Food is incredible. Man, it's just a fantastic place.
I've been trying to get up there for years. Definitely want to go to a Niners Seahawks game. I mean, this year would be great because it's opening week, so that would be great. But just, you know, just trying to get up to the city. I've been up to Portland. That's as far north as, actually, I've been to Vancouver, Washington, but never Seattle. So I definitely want to get up there, man. Definitely.
Yeah, so I'll tell you some of the, there were definitely some moments during that trip that, but I had, oh man, yeah, one of them nights too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what are we talking about? Like, we was drinking? What we was doing?
Well, yeah. Like, okay. Like, we went to this, you know, wonderful Italian restaurant where Chuck, you know, Charles knows everybody. So the food was just incredible. But, you know, they're serving up drinks this whole time. Mm-hmm. And we're riding the ferry. So we're not worried about, you know, cars and anything like that. And, you know, of course, we get back to the house. It's still relatively early. Mm-hmm. So the drink, you know, the bottle of wine gets open, drinks start pouring. And then Katie's like, yeah, I'm gonna shower and we'll, you know, start to wind the night down. Okay. It's probably 11.
Yeah.
All right. Cool, baby. And I'm not. It was from that moment where things start to get very sketchy. Charles built the house himself.
Yeah.
It's an incredible house. Basement, first level, second level, third level. Like he literally, no, I'm not saying he
That's
designed
crazy
it. I'm too. Saying he built it.
I remember
like
when he was explaining
built,
it. I was like, wait, what?
He built it. And
it's crazy.
So I don't remember exactly what happened, but we wound up in the basement, which is pool table, movie theater, and karaoke. So the karaoke starts, and I don't really know what I remember singing. Joe, I remember singing Good Girls with my brother. I remember Katie singing a Lizzo song. And I didn't realize exactly what had happened till the next day when I looked at my Aura ring and I was like, yo, did we go to bed at 2:30?
Oh, that's a late night for that boy.
They were like, yeah, man. I was like, oh, man, I didn't realize it was that late. And then I just start hearing about all of the stuff that happened that I don't remember.
Oh, well, what?
Well, I'm not going to say all of it.
Well, tell the class.
I'm not going to say all of it.
With the class.
But I know the first thing.
Is there video of you singing Confessions?
It wasn't Confessions. There's video. I don't think I have it. I think Claudia and Katie.
Good question. What was he singing? Okay. You Remind Me?
Okay, no. No, I'll tell you what happened there. We was sitting, so Cole says Damien was singing R. Kelly. That didn't happen during karaoke, but like an Amazon playlist was running, just a curated whatever. And Body's Calling came on.
Oh, come on now.
And so I kind of looked at my brother and my man Frankie was there, and we kind of looked. We're all looking around. No one's saying anything, and it was like, oh, okay. So that's just in the playlist. And Chuck was like, hell yeah, it's in the playlist.
Yeah.
And then it hits. I hear you call. Come and on the now. Whole
here I come, baby. Yeah, nah, like, I ain't even gonna stop.
Yeah, I won't say. I wasn't the only one singing. It was about seven of us.
You know how I feel.
And the only one that wasn't singing, I don't think she knew the words. So we was.
You already know how I feel, man. Look, I'm a free man.
Yeah, not hey. So, bro, it was just, and I don't condone this. I might. You know how people have one of them nights say, I'm never drinking again. After this weekend, I might not.
Oh, no.
I was like, man.
What was the drink?
See, that was the problem.
Were you mixing?
Yeah. We had red wine. And drank that. And then Chuck was like, this is where everything went bad. Because when Katie went to get in the shower, we hadn't done this yet. And I remember the line, hey, I'm going to go get this 19-year-old scotch. And then it was just gone after that. Just a mess. Just an absolute mess.
I don't think I've ever had one of those nights where I don't remember.
There are certain things I don't remember. Yeah. Like, okay, isn't that, look, it was all in fun, I guess. But Charles went, do you remember slapping Katie's ass over and over again? I was like, what? And Katie goes, yes, you was hitting my ass hella hard. I had to tell you something. I was like, I don't remember any of this. He said I was sitting on the pool table looking like I'm about to fall asleep. I kept telling him this didn't happen. None of this happened. There's no way it happened. Like, no, it did. We had to. Katie was like, I had to take your ass upstairs. And I'll tell you this. Hey, shout out to my girl, man. I love that woman to death. I didn't know this. Don't remember it. She gave me 3 Excedrin and something to help me sleep.
Okay.
I woke again. This is part of the reason I didn't believe. I woke up the next morning feeling terrific. I couldn't wait to get to the Mariners game. I was like, my brother comes stumbling downstairs. I was like, man, what's wrong with you? He was mixing. He was like, man, no, he wasn't.
He was right back at
I was great.
Yeah.
But that's all because my girl took care of me. Again, no recollection. None of 3 pain pills and something to help me sleep. But I remember you do that diagnostics check after you have a night. I'm like, yo, I was like, I think I'm good. And I'm like checking, head don't hurt. Like I got water next to me. Like I just need some caffeine. I got to tell you, that's a whole other story.
Oh, what? Caffeine?
Yeah. So I drink like a mix. It's called Amino Energy. It's like a pre-workout drink, but that's essentially my coffee.
Okay.
And Katie drinks coffee, so I make her coffee every morning, right? Well, my brother is he's like you. He's fancy, right? He's of the higher like end me. Variety. And so I almost FaceTimed you too. Okay. He was like, hey man, how's Kenny? I was like, oh, he's good. And he was like, oh, he ain't say nothing? I was like, what you mean? He was like, oh, he knew you was coming to see me and he ain't say what's up to Chuck. I was
and what up, Chuck? Come on,
so,
man.
So I was like, oh, let's FaceTime him. And then he says something about IO. I was like, oh, let's FaceTime IO. So it was a thing. But so we wake up that morning. Again, I'm feeling great. Mm. Wake up that morning to I was trying to make Katie's coffee, but it's not a Keurig where you just press a button. It's got like a grinder. It's got all this different stuff. You got the beans grind into this little thing. You got to pack it down and put it over here. And this piece goes to this piece. So what had happened was, is there was this plastic piece that I thought, would you filter the water through.
Uh-huh.
It turns out it is not.
Oh.
Yeah.
What
so I put that piece right there and tried to put the coffee there, start the water, and I couldn't get it to work because I couldn't get the coffee part to stay.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. What I didn't realize happened was that plastic piece doesn't go there because it's plastic. So when the hot water came out,
yeah,
it melted the plastic.
Oh, he done into broke the man's. Oh, damn. Well, you got a Keurig now.
Well, Keurig not exactly. Because, of course, I'm like, bro, and he's trying to fix it. He's like, you can't get this out. Like, it's done.
Oh, that's the worst, too, when you break something or whatever, and the guy's like, yeah, you broke it. I can't
that's
anything about
not
this.
The worst thing.
Oh,
the worst thing was like, bro, you know, I got you. It's fine. I got you.
Yeah.
That was a $1,000 coffee maker.
Oh, I wouldn't have even touched it.
I didn't know at the time. Otherwise, I wouldn't have.
Damn.
Now, thankfully, it was the 4th of July, so we got it for the low, low price after taxes of $863.
Come on, man.
And because my brother...
This is rich. Everybody rich over there.
Because my brother...
I'm going to pour one out for a guy right here.
Because my brother is a professional jerk, I buy this so we can have coffee that you know the next morning.
Yeah.
Because this happens the 4th of July. We're dead. There's nothing we could do.
Yeah.
Next morning, we get it. And we're driving home. So we purchased this.
Mm-hmm.
Got you, bro. Sorry about that. We'll get it all set up. He was like, yeah, it's cool. They actually got a gold one that fits the kitchen better. I'm going to buy that. I'll send you this in the mail in a couple weeks. You're such a jackass.
Hey, anybody need a coffee maker? Go look at StockX.
Man.
That's where it's going to be.
Hey, you better sell that.
Damn it.
It's going to be on StockX soon.
That sinking feeling when you find the coffee maker that you broke and see the price of it. Is
Lord have mercy
indescribable.
If he's got more than the big cup, the medium cup, and the small cup, I'm not messing with it.
Yeah, I should have known. Like, don't just leave it alone, man.
Oh,
don't
man.
Touch it. Don't
they
touch
got,
it.
They got more from Seattle coming up. I know.
Oh, we got more from Seattle, but make no mistake about it. I was following everything that happened around here dating back to Wednesday night. Some of y'all, not y'all listening, some of y'all sneak watching this. Some of y'all need to keep your goddamn mouth shut. And I'm going to explain who that is and why y'all need to recognize what the job of a reporter is. The job of a reporter isn't to tell your sorry ass what you want to hear. It's to tell you what's happening. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk.
We talking. Oh,
Steeler
man,
KC,
we talking.
ESPN 1320. All right, man, we had a great four-day weekend. We're going to keep talking about it.
Jesse's back. So, Jesse, I saved this. Because I wanted you to be here when I set this.
Oh, nice. Thanks for thinking of me.
But I just wanted to commend you. You did a great job on the interview we did with Chris Webber and Mike Bibby on Friday.
Oh,
on
Thursday, that was so great.
Man, that was fantastic.
Big Chris is what we call him now.
Yeah, yeah. So
Big
a guy.
Chris.
Yeah.
Big Chris.
That's cool. So y'all keeping the bit up. That's good. No, that's fine.
What bit?
That's fine.
Didn't post it to YouTube, though, because it's so exclusive.
Yeah, we did. That was like the show at Sky River. You had to be there.
For some reason,
I hope like,
in.
Wonder who's going to show up today.
We got settled somewhere in Seattle. I don't know if we was on the field. I don't know what we were doing, but I was like, let me see what my boys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I pulled up the stream, and there's, you know, KC sitting back here. He's chilling. And for some reason, Kyle was like right here. When I tuned in, Kyle had the full Brian Windhorst camera thing.
I think that's
happening.
When Kyle had enough of what I said. Okay. He had already done his hit, his normal hit. Yeah. And then he was about to leave.
Yeah.
And then I said something. He said, no, I'm coming back in.
You were trying to bring Kuminga off the bench.
I mentioned it. God. I just mentioned it. I mentioned it. I said I'd have a conversation. And Kyle wasn't having it.
Yeah, it was bad. We did the whole GM negotiating thing where Casey's the GM. It got bad
again. Oh,
he was disrespecting Kuminga.
No, I was not disrespecting Kuminga.
Okay, now hold on. First things first.
I was showing him love.
I mean, Kyle's a vet in the game at this point, but you can't just step into a GM thing with Kenny. Like, I'm on 5 years of working with my Look, man, you can't just walk into that situation and expect to be okay.
I was showing love to Kuminga.
That's the kiss of death when you say something like that.
I showed him love.
It got to a point where Casey was like, hey, look, pal, nobody wants you, okay?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, we want you, but we want you off the bench right now.
What happened?
Paraphrasing, but that was kind of the vibe. that's the end point we got to.
Paraphrasing only not. Just not at all.
We had a nice conversation.
Okay.
Me and Kuminga.
Oh, you and Kuminga. Yeah. So was
hypothetically.
Kyle, the role of Kuminga?
No, Casey was just pretty much just
or you talk, no, you Casey were the general just, manager and Jonathan Kuminga.
I was telling them the conversation we would have.
Oh.
Kuminga wasn't even around.
He wasn't even a part of it.
We were talking about like how it's bringing up like how Kuminga maybe would fight that or just the opposition to it and just Casey.
I said no, but hey, big dog, we gonna take care of you here. Don't worry about it. We got you. We not treating you like they did down in 80 East. Mm-hmm. I guess that we ain't gonna, or 80 West. Excuse me. Yeah. We ain't gonna treat you like that, big dog.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust me, I got you.
So let's talk about that for a minute.
Mm.
So. We finish up our business on Wednesday, and I'm not here Thursday, so I'm starting to prepare for, you know, what our day looks like the next day and how we navigate it. And I'm a little disconnected at that point. I'm like, all right, I could take a breath. KC, Jesse, they got everything covered tomorrow. And I get a call from Matt George, and Matt's like, hey, did you see the Kuminga stuff I just dropped? No. Can you fill me in? Get like I'll pull it up, but can you fill me in? So he's filling me in. I'm pulling up his tweets as he's talking and he's laying it all out. All right. Like you feel pretty good about this? He was like, yeah. Like I did what I do. Like I'm good. Mm-hmm. Said, okay, do you want what do you want from me? Because I ain't doing nothing. So what do you need from me? Mm-hmm. As I'm talking to Matt, I get a text. And I don't read it to Matt right away. I said, hey, not for me. Do you have the deal? He was like, I have what I think the latest deal is. And he presented it to me. And it's the Saric, mm-hmm. Devin, and 2 second-round picks. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. I just got a text that there's a discrepancy on, so you I'm not doing anything with this, so you have to rectify this, mm-hmm. or reconcile it. I have Saric and Devin with a protected first-round pick. I haven't sent a single text to a single person yet, and I think this was said on the insider, so I don't think it's a big deal that I say this. James texts me. He has Saric, Devin, and I think he had a protected first, and then I finally sent a text and said to someone who I Matt doesn't know. This is just someone completely removed who we've gone to in the past. Mm-hmm. He had Saric, Devin, and 2 first-round picks. Mm. So it was always those 2 players and some form of draft compensation that appeared to change. I point that out for a very specific reason. Here we are on Monday. All of this stuff broke on late Wednesday, but Wednesday evening. Mm-hmm. I've read tweets from people that I like, respect. I've read tweets from people that I don't like and don't respect. And there is this running thought, and I know Dave jumped on this right away. I saw Ant-Man follow it, and Sam co-signed Anthony Slater. Oh, this isn't close. I saw Bonte tweeting, "Oh, it's so funny. Kings fans and reporters thinks if this call took place, it was a 10-second call." No, dog, it wasn't. Everybody from Sacramento and Detroit had virtually the same exact deal, with the discrepancy being in the draft, the pick selection. And to pretend, I don't know if the Warriors got backlash. I don't know if they got embarrassed. I don't know if they thought they could. I don't know if some general manager said we could do better than that. I don't know what happened that slowed this deal down. But to act like this wasn't close to happening is laughable. Matt, James, you, me, whoever chooses to report on something is reporting on a situation as it's happening. It's not to predict whether the deal gets done. It's not to protect one of the franchises in it. If the Kings got their feelings hurt because this deal got public, tighten up your goddamn ship. That's your problem. Mm-hmm. Now, it's very clear when the Sacramento Kings started calling people. I'll break kayfabe. I like Dave. I text with Dave regularly. Dave is perfectly fine with me. Dave got a call, and I would bet you, Dave got a call asking him to clean this up. Because no one had nothing. Dave threw in a Russell Westbrook part. Everybody who listens to the show was in on that bit. But the Kings weren't paying attention. So they're like, oh, he's out here trying to force this Russell Westbrook thing. No one tweeted about Russell Westbrook except for one person. And all I did was tweet a GIF. You responding to a GIF? This organization needs to tighten itself up a little bit. Matt's job is not to help the Kings get deals done. Matt's job is to report what is happening in the moment. Whether I don't know how deep James went on his reporting. He had it. I don't know what he did with it. But their job, hey, this is happening right now. This is where the Kings, this is where Kuminga is at. This is where the Kings are at. We were trying to find the dollar figure. We couldn't. I kept hearing one, and I said, hey, this is the dollar figure I got it from one person, and this person is not someone who would be in on the negotiations. This is at best the third person on the phone who heard this deal. So I don't know what the dollar figure is or if that's the holdup. But if we put 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 together, we can find out there's a discrepancy in the draft compensation. So I could work from that. But this whole idea that he was wrong or that the report was wrong, it was all Matt was 100% right in everything he was reporting. Those people who had this stuff in Detroit were 100% right on everything they were reporting. The only people who are saying they are wrong are the people who the Kings are telling you to tell them that they're wrong, and the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. I'll speak for Matt. I normally wouldn't. I'll speak for Matt. Extremely confident that the organization was very far along on this Kuminga deal. Where it's hung up at, I have no idea. But the idea that it's not close, the idea that it wasn't happening, the idea that this was all manipulative, absurd. Mm-hmm. Matt's a goddamn news reporter. Matt doesn't get paid for his opinion. He reports. Mm-hmm. We talk trash. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. We are not reporters. Our jobs are very different. He did his job, and he did it very, very well.
Perfectly said. I don't know how much you saw on Thursday, if at all, but I was talking to Jesse, and I was like, I was thinking about that deal coming into the studio, and I was like, I said, man, that deal is so below what you think the value is, and it's so random. It's got to be real. You know what I mean? And I was like, well, why would that be the deal? Why would that be the offer? I understand, like I said, we do the bit on the show about general manager Casey and, you know, not coming in with your best offer. I get all that. But I was like, why would that be the offer? And I landed on, because Scott Perry knows what the hell he's doing.
Mm.
And Scott Perry knows what the market is for Jonathan. Mm-hmm. He knew mm-hmm. on Wednesday what the market was for Jonathan Kuminga.
Mm-hmm.
he knew who was involved and how much it would take compensation-wise to get a deal done. The Warriors may not have known. That's where everything gets a little murky, because I think, and this is just me reading the tea leaves, just critically thinking, I think Scott knew on Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, this is his market.
You saw the Wizards deal?
Yeah.
That's your market?
Yeah.
It's called a market analysis if you were looking at a home. James loves to use the home analogies. That's a market analysis, and Scott Perry did it.
And this, and maybe this is where things get a little murky, but this, I don't think the Warriors knew the market. I don't think, well, maybe Dunleavy and all these other guys did. Here's where I think some things started to fall apart. I do think the Warriors got embarrassed. I think specifically Joe Lacob got embarrassed.
Mm.
Once he figured out what was going on, the conversations that were
being said,
I think he got embarrassed. And I don't think Joe Lacob knew at that time, Friday, whatever, the market for Jonathan Kuminga. I still think a lot of the people in Golden State and some writers still don't understand what the market is for Kuminga.
You know what the market isn't? I'm looking at, I don't know who Josh is, but salute. Welcome to the show. Hit the thumbs up button. He says Kuminga for Saric and Carter and a bunch of laughing emojis. The Golden State Warriors would trade Jonathan Kuminga for that $800 cup of coffee I had to have the other day. They don't want him.
Mm.
They don't want him, and we are in a completely different world financially than we used to be. Mm-hmm. It's why this has arguably been the lamest free agency in history. All of the built up, man, this is going to be a seismic offseason. Nah, teams are scared to death. Mm-hmm. They're scared to spend money. They're scared of aprons. Restricted free agency has a chokehold on this league right now. And the Warriors are like, test your market. Hmm. Test your market. Go ahead. Match, not match, whatever. The fact is, the Warriors have a player that they don't want. But they know someone else wants them. The problem for the Warriors is they know the someone else's know that they don't want him. And so this big knock your socks offer for a young player like Kuminga, it ain't happening. It's not happening. And you might not get a better offer than a young player like Devin Carter, who, I'm not switching it up. I don't like it. I don't like him. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's good. You saw something in him at the end of the season that maybe you can build off of. If he's a king, I hope you're right. Mm-hmm. But from what I see right now, man, you could do whatever you want to with that. Your best bet might be, how some of y'all like to say, take a flyer on someone. Your best bet might be taking a flyer on Devin Carter. Because if that Washington Wizards offer is indicative of what the rest of the league is talking to you about, bro, the Kings could put you in a position where you just gotta go ahead and match it.
Look,
match that offer.
You said something a second ago, and there's a couple components going on here, right? You said the Warriors don't want Jonathan Kuminga. Jonathan Kuminga doesn't want the Warriors. The Warriors have an understanding of what the market is, but here's where things get a little fishy, and it's different. I can understand how people in the media, Warriors fans, aren't seeing this because it is the Kings. We've been dealing with incompetent GMing for a decade. Scott Perry knows Jonathan Kuminga's market more than the Warriors do. He knew it on Wednesday. Not only did he know the trade market, he knew the Warriors didn't want him. He knew Kuminga didn't want to go back to the Warriors. He knew what the rest of the league was willing to pay for Jonathan Kuminga money-wise. I'm not saying he's like perfect or he's this savant or anything else like that. Scott Perry has known all of this. He caught the Warriors with their pants down. They got caught with their pants down. He has been on. And the reason why I feel this confident about this is the offer is so, it is so out of left field. Sarge, why would you trade Sarge? Like, why would he be, first of all, why did you acquire him? Second of all, why would he even be involved in a trade where somebody would want it? It's that specific. You know how it's like, sometimes when somebody has like accusations or something like that, the accusations are so out of left field, you almost have to take them seriously. Because who would make this up? Who would make up putting Sarge in a trade package? It almost has to be real. At least that's the offer. And that's what Scott Perry believes is part of the value for Jonathan Kuminga. And like I said on Thursday, Scott Perry is looking at the thing like, I know you don't want him. I know he don't want to be there. If you want to go ahead and pay him, go ahead and pay him. Do it. Pay him. Like, fine. Do what you do. Or if you want to trade him, he told them, go find a better deal. If you can find a better deal, if you can find somebody that can up their original deal or whatever the case may be, more power to you. You did a great job, Mike Dunleavy Jr. But go ahead. I know you don't want him, and I know there's not a better deal out there. But you can go find. You can go look for one if you want to. He's two steps ahead this whole time. This entire time. In this situation, he's two steps ahead. Now, predicting
it still could result in nothing.
It could result in nothing. It could result in the Warriors just bringing him back. Mm-hmm. That's an option for mm-hmm. sure. Because everybody want to talk about who got the most leverage.
Absolutely nuts.
Fine. If you want to say the Warriors got the most leverage because they could just bring him, fine.
The Warriors got leverage to do something they don't want to.
Right. Go ahead, do it.
Like you absolutely can. Like you could, if the problem, leverage is the wrong word. They don't want to. That's what this boils down to. They don't want to.
They've shown it in so many different ways over the last 18 months. They do not want Jonathan Kuminga. They don't want him. So go ahead. You can bring back a player that you don't want and that doesn't want to be there. Or, like I said on Wednesday, and I think this is what Scott Perry said, go find a better offer. If you think this is a low ball, if you think this is a bad deal, go find a better deal. And if you can find a better deal, take that deal. And I salute. Somebody had something that I didn't see coming. But remember on Friday, maybe Saturday, I can't remember, all of a sudden, see, this is how funny stuff starts happening. All of a sudden, Washington pops up. And I'm not saying any of these reporters are wrong on the intel that they're getting. I think the intel, the people who are giving them that intel, either got an agenda
mm-hmm.
or wrong themselves.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Washington pops up. Within 12 hours, Washington trades for Cam Whitmore.
Yeah.
They weren't involved in this.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they were never involved.
Not to
in
any
this.
Serious degree.
No. And Miami goes and makes their deal today. Mm-hmm. Scott Perry just said, I told you weren't going to find a better offer.
Mm-hmm.
Now you decide whether you take this one. And like I said, even that, like, because before we were under the impression it was 2 second-rounders. That didn't have to be the final offer. If I was Scott Perry and I'm negotiating, I'll sweeten the deal a little bit. What you want, a first and a second? Like we can change on the parameters of what the draft compensation is, but player wise, that's the best you're gonna do. That's what Scott Perry telling him. And so far, he hadn't been wrong. We'll see if somebody comes in out of nowhere, but RKO out of nowhere. But so far,
Dunleavy
he
going
wrong.
It's fine, and that's fine. Like Dunleavy gonna be that one to have to go back to Steve Kerr and say, yeah, he's still here.
Yeah.
You figured out. Like my man Josh in here talking about, oh, sign him now, trade him later. Cool. To who?
Right.
To who? You can't trade him without a dollar figure attached today. You going to trade him later?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, do that. Oh, right. You're going to trade him. You're going to trade a player who's going to return to a team that he's not playing for. What are we doing?
And who's going to – you bring him back, and he's on the offer sheet. I'm talking about the offer sheet. Why would anybody trade – give you anything better than Sarge and Devin Carter for a guy they know is about to be a free agent next year? Unrestricted free agent. You think you're going to bring him back on the qualify, and you're going to trade him? Look, people in the Warriors land, they're talking about leverage. You can have leverage all you want or think you have leverage all you want. The market has spoken. Do with it what you want. Bring him back if you want to. There ain't no sweat off Scott Perry's back. We tried to go get this guy. They wanted to bring him back. All right, so whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move on with what we were doing for the rest. We'll press go on the Schroeder trade and do whatever and still find somebody else to try and take Malik Monk or whatever we're doing. Like, it's like we want the guy, talking about Scott Perry. We want him, but we're not going to pay you We're not going to overpay when we know what your cards are.
Yeah, and overpay isn't always based on a player or the talent evaluation of a player. It's based on the market. Mm-hmm. Home prices go up when the market is hot. They go down when the market is cold. It's the market. It's not the house.
Right.
You might think the world of Kuminga. We know two things. One, the Warriors don't. And as you pointed out, the market doesn't appear to either. And that's that.
Look, I think Jonathan Kuminga, like in my mind, watching the game, all this other stuff, I think the trade compensation should be more than what the Kings are offering. But guess what? That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think
it
should
be. If it doesn't exist, yeah. It doesn't exist. As long as Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr and whoever else is involved in decision makings at Golden State can decide, well, yeah, we just got to bring him back. As long as you're fine with that, because if the market is bad now, how much worse does it get when you bring him back and don't play him? How much worse does it get when Draymond crosses him and Kuminga decides, no, I've seen this video before, I'm going to fight back? Because I'd imagine if Steve Kerr doesn't want him back, I don't imagine the brain contingent does. Of Steph and Draymond, because for some reason Draymond gets to make decisions or have an opinion. I don't imagine he does, but I'm sure he'll react rationally when Jonathan Kuminga walks into training camp next 2 months from now, 3 months from now.
In the chat, Josh, I don't know if it's the same Josh or whatever, he says, that's all I need to hear, KC. You know that it's just trash talking about the trade offer. Apparently it's not. Like, Josh and others, including myself, are overvaluing Jonathan Kuminga in this climate. You're overvaluing him, Josh. Like, you can tweet and comment your little heart away about what you think it should be. Guess what, Josh and everybody else? It doesn't matter. What it is what it is. The market has spoken. That Saric for and Devin Carter and a couple picks is actually not trash. It's the best one you'll get. It's the best offer as of right now. And I'll put it to you like that. I don't know what you think is going to happen, Josh and everybody else. If there is a better offer, it's not four first rounders and Giannis. It'll be equal to or slightly above what that offer is. I don't know what you think you're going to get. So if you, it could be equal, and the Warriors just not want to do business with the Kings. That's a possibility too. It could be Cody Crispert
and
a second rounder. It could be that, but I don't know what you think. Oh, we're gonna pass on the Kings offer because we're gonna get KD and Jalen Green and four firsts. Like, what do you think you're gonna get? Are you not paying attention? I'm talking to the Warriors
on different
now.
Teams.
Are you not?
That's a crazy deal right there. It's another one of them 17 deals right there.
Are you not paying attention to what's going on right now, Mike Dunleavy Jr.?
Yeah, speaking of, you want any indication of what the market is? It was just a 17 deal. 17. For the first time in NBA history, there was a 7-team deal. That's the state of the NBA right now. That's the state of the salary cap. That's the state of these aprons. That's the state in which these teams are currently navigating. And they're playing the market figure better than they ever have. I have never, ever, ever seen an offseason where you're not gasping at a trade. You're not gasping at a salary. You're not gasping at, wow, this player got that? None of that has existed this offseason. Absolutely none of it. And it is out of one thing and one thing only. It's because Draymond Green was right. And these teams are scared to death of that apron. They're scared to death of making that one financial mistake that could screw them up for the next 3 to 4 years. We are far from done. We're just getting started. Weigh in, talk, do whatever you want to do. Phone lines are open for you. 916-909-1320 is D'Lo McCasey, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia Talk line. Start with our man, Ishmael. Ishmael, we appreciate you, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's going
on, man? How you doing, bro?
Good, good. So on the potential Kuminga sign and trade, I know a lot of fans are, as you guys were mentioning, were kind of getting a little bit angsty about it, wondering where the deal is. But I think the key word, and it's really refreshing for this word to be associated with the Kings GM, is restraint. Scott Perry knows the Warriors already have very publicly for the last 2 years played their cards with Kuminga. They froze him all the way out of a rotation before. We know exactly how they feel about him. They already made a Jimmy Butler trade that immediately made him redundant. Like, we know that they're heading for a divorce. The last thing we need to do is, you know, go crazy, be like, well, we got to get it done, and just, you know, play one too many cards and then leave yourself a little bit shorthanded. You know, they got to come back to the table. So either they make the deal or they don't, but it's not incumbent on us to make things comfortable for them. Like, being a GM, like, isn't all about analytics and stuff like that. We got a GM now, and I think fans have to know this, who's been in a lot of deals. Sometimes trades is two guys talking on the phone, making a deal. And right now, Scott Perry has the Warriors in a position where, yeah, they're a great, you know, successful franchise, but they don't have any leverage in this situation. And when it comes to, you know,
and to be clear, Ish, before you continue, I want you to keep going. When Ish is talking leverage, he's not talking about the Kings and Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors. He's talking about the Warriors and Jonathan Kuminga. They're just stuck. Mm-hmm. That's what Ish is referring to. Sorry, Ish, go ahead.
Nope. Yeah. You're exactly right. And if they want to, you know, give him a big offer sheet and put him on their deep into the luxury tax, which they would be for a player they have very clearly said they're not interested in, then, you know, good for them if they want to do that. But we're not going to, you know, cut our own throats for that. But again, like, I'm for the team scaling younger. I would love a Kuminga. But the last thing we need to do, again, is mortgage assets. Like, if trading LaVine off of the team or Sabonis or whatever, if that includes attaching future picks, guess what? We don't have to do that. We can just run contracts down. Like,
Run on, Ish. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
We appreciate you. Yeah, thank you, man. And I think, I guess there's going to just continue to be discrepancy on where both entities were at with this deal. Mm-hmm. But the fact that in a span of an hour, we heard, privately and publicly, heard two first-round picks, a protected first-round pick, and two second-round picks, mm-hmm, leads me to believe there was a conversation being had. That's a discussion. If an agent is hearing a first, this reporter's hearing 2 seconds, this person's hearing two first round picks. Discussions are being had on multiple levels.
Right.
So the idea that, oh man, this wasn't close. No, I don't know how close it was, but I know there were discussions about what to give up in the process. Mm-hmm. And maybe there was a point where Scott's like, look, if we want to work on, maybe there's something to a protected first. Maybe it's the 2 seconds. Two first is absurd. I'm not doing two first.
No.
I think I'd do a first. I don't think I'd do two.
I think we talked about this on Thursday. If one of the, I think we mentioned two first.
Okay.
I would give you San Antonio's in 27, I think it is, and like mine in 29 or something like that. And that's two firsts, but I'm still keeping mine in 27. I'm assuming San Antonio's would probably be a late first rounder.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's how you get to two firsts.
Did they trade that first in the draft?
I didn't.
I think they traded San Antonio's first. That's what got them. Remember, it converts to 2 seconds immediately, like that same draft.
Okay.
Hey, do I have that wrong?
No, I remember that. I thought it was an outright first because that was a conditional situation, but I think it was San Antonio's. That's right.
Yeah, because everyone's like, it's going to convey.
Minnesota's. That's right.
It's going to convey to 2 second round because no one thinks San Antonio's right. not going to be in the lottery.
The Minnesota is the other one I'm thinking of. Okay. I think that's 2031.
I don't even remember which one that is.
I think that's 2031.
Yeah, Minnesota's 2031.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, maybe you can get that one. You're not getting two Sacramento Kings first round picks. You're not getting two of those. Here's the deal. And I think a lot of people are thinking, I don't want to say with their hearts, because I don't know if they're hard, but they're thinking, they're not thinking about like what's going on right now. What you think Jonathan Kuminga, and this includes Joe Lacob, I think he's playing a big role in this, of what he thinks they should be able to get for Jonathan Kuminga. You have to wrap your head around the fact that it's not reality. Not only did Scott Perry already know what the market was, here's how you know, like I said, as of right now, things could change. Maybe discussions are taking place internally all across the league. But here's how you know this is the best deal you can get, in my opinion. This got out on Wednesday, the whole Kings offer.
Yeah,
Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
How many offers for Kuminga have you seen since then? Like
the Stellar Washington one, which was dead 12 hours later.
That didn't even, that was so nondescript. That was so, once again, Brett Siegel and everybody else, and they were reporting what they were told.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they're lying at all. Remember, that's what I'm talking about. That wasn't no real deal. These guys turned around in 12 hours and got Cam Whitmore. If the deal was so bad, if the Devin Carter, Sarge, and some draft capital was such a low ball deal, such a bad deal, wouldn't you think there would be a number of teams that want Jonathan Kuminga that said, we can beat that. We can beat that. We're willing to beat that. Haven't heard a thing in 5 days. Nobody is stepping up saying, oh, wait, what? We can, that deal is so trash. That deal is so unrealistic. We'll beat that in a heartbeat. Matter of fact, it's been the exact opposite. Miami has gone and made another deal to get somebody else.
Yeah, right.
Washington went and made another deal to get somebody else. So I would ask anybody that doesn't believe that that's the correct offer or like a reasonable offer in this climate, I would ask you, go see how many offers have been out since that was announced to beat that Kings offer. That's what Scott Perry did. He said, hey, this is my offer. Go find another one. Go find a better one. That's what I would tell him. Go find a better one. Hey, you think this is a lowball offer? You think I'm cheating you or I'm disrespecting you? Go find a better one. And if you find a better one and you take that one, I'm going to tip my hat to you, Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are 5-6 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
In the league years, like the moratorium is like over. The guy's signed now. Like, mm-hmm. And I know that has opened up a whole other plethora of questions because you have the Dennis Schroeder situation, which I'm unclear if that signing has happened or not. And I think that's left people scratching their head like, okay, it's a sign and trade. Is it just a flat out signing? Is it completed? Is it not completed? I have no idea.
I have no clue. But that's the thing I keep coming back to for everybody in the Warriors land, low ball offer. Once again, I'll play the role of Scott Perry. Go find a better one. That's all I'm telling you to do. I'm not forcing you to take this deal. I'm not forcing you to do anything. I'm not telling you nothing. You think it's a low ball offer? Go find a better deal. And if you can find a better deal, maybe you want to come back and talk to me and I can see if I can up my price, or you could just walk over and do that deal without even talking. Fine, go do that. But go find a better deal.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened yet. Maybe it'll happen today. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. So far, they ain't found a better deal.
Nope. And right now, everybody's sitting around unhappy. Mm-hmm. Steve Kerr is unhappy. I'd imagine Scott Perry isn't happy. I don't imagine Jonathan Kuminga is happy. Everybody just kind of sitting around.
There's no situation, and I said this in our group checks just now, I'll say it out loud. There's no situation where Golden State comes out of this in a positive fashion publicly. if they take the deal, then people are going to look at it as that's a horrible deal, which is also a little crazy. Like, for everybody that thinks Jonathan Kuminga is like this super prized prospect, which I like his upside. I think he could be a good ball player. You're getting Sarge is whatever, but Devin Carter was a lottery pick from a year ago. Mm-hmm. You're getting a lottery pick, and I'm just assuming here at least one first rounder. So you're getting a second year lottery pick, a first rounder, and another draft pick. And you think that's a bad deal? You think that's like ridiculous? I think that's about right.
But here's the thing, and maybe this is more true for fans than it is media, but it might be true for media too. And this isn't a shot at you know any Warriors fans, because it's true with Kings fans. I think it's true with Knicks fans and Laker fans and Orlando Magic fans. We overvalue the guys on our roster. We might have thought, there are many people listening to this who think Malik Monk can fetch you a really good return. Fam, he can't. He can't. There are people who think you could have gotten 4 first round picks for De'Aaron Fox. I don't think you could have, man. Like, I'm really sorry. I don't think you can. And that's the case with Jonathan Kuminga. I think Jonathan Kuminga is a good young ball player. He obviously has some shortcomings in his game, but that doesn't bother me, as long as he's not a big locker room problem. And I don't believe there's any indications that he is. You could work through that stuff. If you believe in the young man, you believe in that young player's talent. Like, you could work through that stuff. But Warriors fans have been conditioned for 4 years to he's next. He's next. He's next. Steve Kerr does not believe that man is next. Steve Kerr didn't play that man until he had no other choice but to play him. He was literally he needed a body. He was forced to play Jonathan Kuminga. Mm-hmm. And the idea that Warriors fans are like, no. He's good. Oh, we want this offer and that offer. No, dog, you don't get that. Your team doesn't even want him. And that's really what this boils down to. If it's a one-sided thing where Jonathan Kuminga doesn't want to be in Golden State, but Golden State loves Jonathan Kuminga, JK, my brother, you stuck. Mm-hmm. You stuck. That is not the case.